make it right today and find that time and that place. Does anyone have anything upon your heart this morning before we go any further? Anything at all? If not, we do have a thought upon our heart this morning.
If you have your Bibles and would like to read along with us, we'd invite your attention to the 116th division of the book of Psalms. And it's a very familiar psalm, I'm sure, but we're probably going to use a different part of it than most I would use. The 116th division of the book of Psalms. And we'll start our reading in the 12th verse. And a lot of times, this is a sermon used to preach to the lost, or it's used in
a revival context or some
nature of that, but this morning would probably be more
for the saved people. But as we start our reading this morning, I just would ask an interest in your prayers. In Psalms 116 and verse 12. And it says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant, and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord." And our thought this morning, or our title of this lesson, or maybe our subject would be, "What could a beggar give a king?" And that may seem a little strange this morning, and if it is, that's what the Lord has laid upon our heart, and we'd ask that you pray for us. But we're going to read a few more verses in a few moments of time, but as I told you, our thought is, "What could a beggar give a king?" As I thought about this psalm, as I thought about this, a thought that the Lord has given me, and I thought about the first few verses of Psalm 116. And I believe if you were to read that, and it's probably been read and you're hearing many, many times, it's a salvation experience. It's an opportunity, it's a place in the Bible where people will ask, "Well, I want to know where you can find about a salvation experience in the Bible." Well, I believe you could take them to Psalms 116, and I believe you could read that to them, and I believe you could almost tell every single one of our salvation experience this morning, because every single one of us who have ever been lost, and I want us to know and understand this morning that every person will be lost at some person in their, at some point in their life. It's not something that anyone can escape. It's something that we all have gone through, and if you've been saved by the grace of God, you have felt the Lord save you from that. And as I thought about the verses before this, and I thought about how God gloriously saved this person, and it says the pains of hell, they got a hold upon this person. Now I want you to know and understand this morning, I don't know any of us that would really enjoy the pains of hell getting a hold upon us. But I want you to know and understand this morning that every single person that has been saved by the grace of God, they have escaped that place called hell, and God to do that for us, and I'm thankful for that. But our lesson text for the verse that we would like to call your attention to this morning is that 12th verse. It says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me?" And you may ask this morning, what are some of his benefits toward me? What is a saved person? What are the benefits of being saved? What are the benefits of having the Lord? And I want to get to the "what could a beggar give a king," but I want us to understand this morning how good that God has been to us. Because I believe that God has truly been good to his people. And if you've been saved by the grace of God, you can say without a shadow of a doubt this morning that God has truly been good to you. And I believe this morning there's a lot of people that look at outward things, they look at riches of this world, they look at monetary things, the value of things that you have in this life, and now value your life still been good to us. I'd invite your attention for a few more verses of Scripture. This is probably going to be the lengthy part of our Scripture reading this morning, but I want us to go through this morning, but Psalms and the 103rd Division. And I want us to think about the goodness of God this morning and how wonderful that God has been to us. And then I want to get into what could a beggar give a king? Because I want us to know this morning that every single one of us should strive to serve the Lord to the best of our abilities. And most of the time people want to know, why should I do that? Why should I serve the Lord? What will come from it if I serve the Lord? And I want to make this clear this morning that serving the Lord is not about what we can gain from it. It's all about pointing people to the cross. It's all about God. Everything this morning, our worship, our lives, they all point toward Him. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him this morning. Psalms in the 103rd division, it says in the first verse, "Bless thee, Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." And then they see a colon there. And after you see that colon in some scripture or in it begins to list things. So I want us to think about these benefits of the Lord this morning, because as saved people, I believe we have benefits that this world knows nothing about. We have benefits that this world cannot imagine until they've been saved by the grace of God. They know nothing about the goodness of God because they've never experienced it for themselves. In the third verse it says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all the diseases." Has God, as saved people, has God not forgotten or forgiven all of our iniquities? And there's a lot of people this morning, and we may talk about this a little bit more in the coming verses, but there's a lot of people this morning that believe that when God saves you, that He just forgets all of our sin. I want to make something clear this morning that the sea of forgiveness is what it is. It's not the sea of forgetfulness. It's not that God forgets all the things that we've done, but that He forgives what we've done. He forgives us of our iniquities. What kind of king would do that? What kind of person would forgive my iniquities? That's a benefit from God, because there's a lot of people this morning who are unforgiving. There are people that will never forgive you. But God has forgiven us if we've been saved by the grace of God. What a benefit this morning to know that the God of this world has forgiven us. And I want us to know this morning, if we've been saved, we escaped hell. And you know, a benefit this morning is not having to go to that awful place. My iniquities, my sins in this world, they should have sent me there. Because of who I am and because of my sinful flesh, my sinful nature, I deserve hell. But because the Lord forgave me of my iniquities, I escaped that place. If that's not a benefit of God, I don't know what is this morning. If we can say, what a benefit this morning. What a benefit that is. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. What a benefit of the Lord this morning, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. I have said this before here, and I'll say it again. There's people that have heard that would say, "I'd like to see how my life would have been if I hadn't gotten saved and gotten in church." I don't want to know, because I want you to understand this morning that my life and your life without the Lord is all fitted for destruction. I just know that those that are unsaved, those that don't know God, they're fitted straight for destruction. They're fitted for the world and life full of pain and agony. Those of us that have been saved by the grace of God, we've been saved from that life of destruction. Now, I'm not going to say it's all easy. No, it's sure not all easy. But I'm going to tell you, with God, things will never be as bad as they could be without Him. Even on our worst days, God's benefits are still good. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Loving kindness. I'm not a person that deserves
lives. You know, there's a lot of people today that are good people, and there are people that deserve a lot of things in this life. You know, there's a lot of people that I'm tied to and you're tied to, and they really don't deserve it. You know, I can make a case this morning and say that none of us deserve God's kindness. But if you're here this morning and you're still breathing and you still have any semblance of love in you, God is giving you love and kindness because He loves you. He didn't have to bestow. He got kindness. He didn't have to bestow His grace upon us. He gives us tender mercies. We can read over in Lamentations about those tender mercies that are renewed day by day. Every day God allows us one more opportunity to live. One more opportunity to serve Him. You know, I think about many times about God could really just destroy my life. You know, He helped all of my life just in the palm of His hand. But it's because God's mercy. It's because of His love. It's because that He cares for us. It's because that we're His children. It's because of those tender mercies that are renewed. That by God, the Lord allowed to be here this morning. What a benefit of the Lord. What a benefit that God has allowed from us. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. He
told Moses what to do. He told him, He said, you're going to be the one to lead the children of Israel out of Pharaoh's hand. You're going to be the one to do that. And then what did He do? He led them out, and He was kind, and He was gracious enough to the children of Israel that He allowed that to happen. Now the children of Israel, moments of weaknesses. They had their times when they were in peril, and they're just like you and I. We'll look and we'll read in the scriptures and we'll say, well, those silly people, they had Moses with them. They had the Lord instructing them every moment of the way. How silly of them to take what they know was going to happen. How silly of them to take the promise of God
and trust it. But I want you to understand this morning, we do the exact same thing. Sometimes we trample on the promises of God.
And that's sad this morning. I'm sad to myself
because I do the exact same thing.
Oh, but He's still gracious enough to them, didn't He? He allowed them to go into the land full of milk and honey, a land that He promised. Now, Moses never got to see that land. Oh, but the people, the children of Israel, they got to see that land of milk and honey. And brothers and sisters, someday you and I are going to a land of milk and honey. Someday we're going to leave of this world behind, and we're going to enjoy the good things that heaven has prepared for us. I want you to understand this morning that that's also a benefit of the Lord. A place of perfect peace and rest. We were listening to a song on the way down here, Winnie Beckman's Sweet Home. Oh, a land of perfect peace and rest. What joy will that be? You know, it's a place prepared for those that have been saved by the grace of God. What a benefit that is. This morning, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Can you imagine if God was quick to anger, had no mercy upon us? Well, I want you to understand this morning, I know a lot of people that have a lot of anger issues. They struggle with lots of things. They have lots of problems with those sorts of issues in life. Now, I want you to understand this morning that every single one of us, the actions in our lives, sometimes we can provoke the Lord to anger. But because He's slow to anger, because He's slow to judge us and give us our chastisement, that's a benefit of the Lord. Because I want you to know and understand this morning, if the Lord was quick to anger, if He was quick to pull the trigger on all of our lives, we'd all be out of here before we ever got out of our salvation very quickly. You know, the moment that God saved me, boy, I was feeling good. Before I got out of the church, I guarantee you, I'd already seen. And God would have already said, if He was quick to anger, He'd have said, well, I'm done with that one. Close it off. I'm done. And then I would have had no opportunity. But it says He's slow to anger. Now, I want you to know and understand this morning that God is jealous for His people. He's jealous for His church. And He does get angry. You look over in the book of Nahum and you think about what the book of Nahum was saying, the book of Joel, and all of those things. The Lord destroyed great kingdoms, and He destroyed people's lives because they
the Lord is slow to anger. If we ever get to that point, and I want you to understand this morning that the United States of America is fixing to run out of long-suffering. They're fixing to run into the Lord finally being angry with them. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah and the things that they were doing. I believe the Lord run out of anger with them. I believe He finally showed them who was God. I'm scared for our country because I believe God has been gracious enough to us, and He's been slow to anger. But someday His wrath will come upon this world, and I want you to understand this morning that I don't care who it is. If they're lost and undone without the Lord, His wrath will be great upon them. Those of us that have been saved by the grace of God, we get to be spared from those things. And I want to make this clear this morning. There will be perilous times. The Bible speaks of that. And I believe that. And there's going to be hard times for you and I, and that we may never see them in our generations. It may be my children's children's children that see the hard times that are being persecuted for what they believe and for what they stand for. It may never be us that are burned at the stake or any of those things for what we believe in. But brothers and sisters, I want you to understand this morning that if we go through any of those things, if our lives are reduced to going to our own persecution for the Lord, what a benefit that is. You may say, well, preacher, that don't sound like much of a benefit. And I want you to understand this morning that Jesus Christ went to the cross for us. If it takes us dying for His cause, it would be my honor to give my life for this cause that I love so much. It would be my honor to die for Him. You know, I can't save anybody. My death wouldn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but to be able to go and serve I want us to all understand this morning what we're going to give the Lord, what we should be giving the Lord. It doesn't seem like much when we realize what God has given us, His benefits that are toward us. It says, He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. That goes right along with what we've been trying to discuss this morning. It says, He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our sins. I don't believe that's rewarding us in crowns and great riches. I believe rewarding us for our iniquities would be the pits of hell. Because that is the ultimate price for the sin of unbelief. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Now I want us to bring out that verse just for a few moments. I don't believe that pity is something that you... Now, the way I'm going to make this, you're going to think, well, a father would feel sorry for his child. But when you show pity to someone, sometimes you look down upon them and you think a little less of them when you pity them. But I think here he's talking about as a father pitieth his child, I believe it's talking about comforting his child, loving his child. When things go wrong, he keeps them with him. He makes sure that they're okay. He makes sure that they're comforted. And I believe that the Lord is the exact same way. I believe every one of us can attest to at least one time in our life when things weren't going as well as we thought they ought to be. Things were hard, and God immediately came on the scene and He blessed us and He let us know that we were okay. Is that not a benefit of the Lord this morning? What a benefit it is to know that God is on our side and that He loves us in the hard times as He does in the good times. We sing a song, God on the Mountain. The same God that's on the mountain with us is the same God that goes down the mountain into the valley and up the next mountain. What a benefit of the Lord this morning. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. What a God this morning that knows that we're dust. He remembers that we're dust.
He remembers that there's not much about us that's good. He knows that we're sinners. He knows that about us this morning. But He remembers that about us. And it says, as for man, his days are as grass as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over, and it is gone, the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, from them that fear Him and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as to keep His covenant and to do those that remember His commandments to do them. God knows, and we know, that our life is just as a vapor. We're just here for just a very short, a little bit of time. We know that, and the Lord knows that. And I think about the little sparrow that He talks about over in the New Testament. He knows where the sparrow is. He knows all about what they're doing. He knows the hairs upon our head. He knows that we're not worthy of anything, but He still loves us. He still loves us. Even though our days are few in number, He knows about that sparrow, and I believe He watches over us just as much as He does that sparrow. What a benefit of the Lord for Him to know who I am. Now, there's a lot of people in this world that get on television and, you know, we know all about them. They get in the news and all of a sudden, boy, you know more about their life than you ever thought you wanted to know. You see them in the tabloids. And I'm going to tell you, if I mentioned Tom Brady's name this morning, everybody would know who he is, I believe, but maybe if you like football. If I didn't mention the name Barack Obama, I believe everybody here knows who he is. Everybody knows his name. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. Knowing his name is not a benefit in this world. Now, if you know him personally, you might get a few more benefits than you and I today might get. But I'm going to tell you someday after a while that Barack Obama or anybody else that has all kinds of money, if they don't know the one who the name really needs to be known, what a destruction it will be. It doesn't matter who they are or what they've done, how much money they've got, they've still got to come the exact same way that you and I have. It doesn't matter what they've done. I believe there are some great people in this world. Bill Gates is one of the richest men that has ever lived. And he gives a lot of his money to charity. But if he doesn't know the name of God, if he doesn't know Him, like I know Him, he'll die and burn in hell. For me, who has nothing in this world compared to some of these people, to know that God is who He is, to know Him as I know Him, what a benefit that is this morning. To know the Lord in that way. What a benefit. And I want you to turn back with me to Psalms in the 116th division. And I'll try not to make this too much more lengthy, but I want to try to get this in this morning. What could a beggar give a king? Do you think about a king this morning as he sits upon his royal throne? And you think about all of the things that he has. And you think about all of the things that he can do. And you think about a poor little beggar that comes to him and he pleads his case. He knows that he has nothing. He knows that he's not worthy. He knows that in comparison to the king, there's nothing about him that should keep him from being with adults. He knows that he's a beggar. And the beggar offers the king just a little something. The king could offer him everything. And this beggar comes before him and he just tries to offer him just a little something. Now there's a difference this morning in the king of heaven and the king of this world. Now the king of heaven, one night on my knees at an altar of prayer, I knelt before the Lord and I was begging before the king. I was begging before him because I knew that he could offer me everything. I knew that he could hold my life in the palm of his hand. I knew that he already did. And I knew that he wanted to save me. And I was standing there. I was on my knees begging the Lord to save my soul. But what could I offer him? Nothing. I had nothing that night to offer him, and he knew that. I tried. I tried to offer him everything I had. Well, I would offer him my toys, thinking that he'd want them. He didn't want none of that. I tried offering him mom and dad. Well, they were already saved. He already had them. I tried offering him everything. And you know all he wanted? Was for me to believe and trust that he was. Amen. And guess what? The moment that I did it, He saved my soul.
Amen.
And guess what? I'm an heir to that King. I'm royal this morning. You may say, no, you're not, Brother Gregory. You're not royal. I've got royal blood that flows in my veins. I'm no longer that beggar that has to go before the Lord and try to offer the minuscule things of this life. I want you to know this morning, I'm still nothing. But because of what God has done for me, because of His benefits, I'm royal this morning. There's royal blood that flows in these veins. No longer am I of this world. No longer am I bound for hell. I'm an heir to a kingdom. What could this old beggar give a king? Nothing. But what should I try to give him? That's where I want to get this morning. And then I'm going to try to close. It says, I will take this cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. You know, when you read about taking a cup of something in reference to things in the Bible, a lot of times it was bad. Cup of sorrow, that was not good. I don't think any of us want a cup of sorrow this morning. But I don't believe this cup of salvation was a bad thing. You know, when He offered this cup of salvation to me, I took it. I was willing to take that cup of salvation. What should I do because of that? Call upon the name of the Lord. What could a beggar give a king? I'm still calling. I might be royal this morning, but my big brother still has to help me out. The prince of this world, the God, the King of this world, He knows that I'm like that old prodigal son that came back home. He knows that I still have nothing in this world to offer Him. But He still wants us to call upon His name because of His benefits toward us. And this is really what I want to get to, and I don't believe the Lord's going to let me go much past this morning. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. 18th verse. That was the 14th verse. The 18th verse says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. The Bible says if you deny Him, He will deny you. The Bible says not to be ashamed of the Lord. The Bible says to worship Him in the spirit of truth. The Bible says, for the redeemed of the Lord, for them to say so. At the end it says, praise ye the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I have nothing in this world to offer the Lord this morning. And I read for you all of the benefits, and there's more benefits from the Lord. If I were to try to preach all of the benefits, we'd be here from here now until this time next year preaching about the goodness of God. I can't get it all in this morning. I'm going to tell you, if you get saved, if you've been saved, you know all about the goodness of the Lord.
Amen.
Because just one touch of the Master's hand fixed it all. But I'm going to tell you this morning, what can we give our King? What can we offer Him this morning? You say, preacher, what does that mean? I'm going to tell you something this morning. You and I don't belong to ourselves. Taylor Gregory is not belong to Taylor Gregory. He doesn't belong to Gina and Tony. He doesn't belong anybody in this world. You know who He belongs to? He belongs to Christ. Everything that I am, everything that I have, and everything that I do, it belongs to Him. My house in this world, the car that I drive, the money in my bank, all of it belongs to the Lord. Because of His benefits toward me, the best that I can do in this world is offer everything I've got to Him. Because none of it's mine. I can't take it with me when I leave. I actually heard someone say, I've never seen a U-Haul follow a hearse or have one attached to a hearse. But recently I saw a picture online and there was a U-Haul attached to a hearse. I don't believe there's anybody in it. But I know some people that have tried to take everything they've got with them when they leave. But I'm going to tell you, none of it will matter in the hereafter. None of it will matter when it comes down time to die. People will work their lives trying to get all of these great riches. They'll do all of these things to make themselves popular in this world. And guess what? When it comes down time to die, we all die. Some of us are more gracious than others. But guess what? We've all got to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We've all got to stand before the judgment bar, and we've all got to be accountable for the things that we have done in this life. And I've preached this before, and I don't know if it was here, maybe it was, maybe it's not. There's going to be a day when God's coming back. And we're going to stand before the Lord, and there'll be some books that the Lord's going to bring out. And there's going to be one book that's going to have our works in it. It says the books. I believe it's probably more than one book. Because I don't believe all of the works that everybody's done can fit in one volume. I believe there's going to be a few of those books. And I believe the Lord may look in those books. He may scroll down and he may see Bill Gates' name. He'll say, well, you gave a lot of money to this foundation. Look at you. You've done a great job. He's going to go down and he's going to say, well, you've done some more good things. Look at all that you've done. And then he's going to flip over. He's going to take the most important book, the Lamb's Book of Life, and he's going to open it up. You may say, preacher, you're preaching things you don't know about this morning. It may not happen just like this, but I'm guaranteeing you, the Lord's going to do something quite like this. He's going to look in that book of our works. He's going to look and he's going to see the things that we've done, good or bad. All the good things and all the bad things that we've done. And he's going to open up the Lamb's Book of Life. He'll start scrolling down, start looking down. He's going to look for Mr. Gates' name. All of the good things that he's done. Well, he's going to look and he's going to say, I find no record of your birth. He's not been saved. I hope man has been saved. I sincerely do. Now, I may be picking on him this morning, but sometimes you've got to find somebody to pick on, so it might as well be you. But you look down and you begin to look a little farther and you see, well, there's no record of your name. Bill Gates, the richest man that's ever lived, if he doesn't know the Lord in the free pardon of sin, the Lord's going to look at him and he's going to say, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. And then you see, there's going to be a little boy named Taylor Griffin. He's going to follow him up sometime. And I may not be behind Gates. I hope the world I'm not. And he's going to look and he's going to start looking through my works and he's going to see a very small little bit in there. He's going to see that my works didn't amount to a whole lot. He's going to see that the bad things that I've done far outweigh any of the good things that I've ever done. He's going to see that. But then you know what? He's going to look over into that Lamb's Book of Life. He's going to start looking down and he's going to go down and he's going to see my name. He's going to say, he's mine. I have a record of his birth. I know where his spot's at. The blood was applied to him. And the Lord's going to say, enter in. Enter in perfect rest. Not because I've been good, not because I've ever done anything worth doing, but because of what God done for me.
Amen.
If God is not worthy of our praise, then what is? If God is not worthy of everything that I am, have, and will ever be or have, what is? If he's not worthy, I don't know what is. I preached here last Sunday night about praising the Lord. Brothers and sisters, God deserves our praise. He deserves the best that we have. Over in the Old Testament, when they would offer their sacrifices, it had to be the very best that they had.
Amen.
Now, I want you to know in the grand scheme of things, I'm not the very best that he has. I'm just like Paul. I'm the cheapest of all sinners this morning. But I'm going to tell you it didn't matter about that. He looked and he saw I was offering everything that I had. And he saved me. I didn't deserve it. I still don't deserve it. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? Brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something this morning. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you're just as much royalty as I am. When I was born, they said that I had O negative blood, I believe, that flows in these old veins. I don't know what that means. It didn't matter to me. But what matters to me is that there's royal blood in there now. There's royal blood, and that's a benefit of the Lord. I'm thankful for that this morning.
Amen.
My sincerest desire is that you know him. Brothers and sisters, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you've got benefits this morning. When we go looking for jobs or something, when you go looking for anything, you want to know all about it. You want to know what it's going to do for you, what it's going to help you. And I'm going to tell you something. If God had no benefits toward us, if the only thing that he did for us was save our unworthy souls from hell, it would be worth everything. It'd be worth it all. That's the greatest benefit of everything. These other things, they're just add-ons. But you know what? I'm thankful for them this morning.
Amen.
Because I'm thankful that God is long-suffering with me.
There's a lot of times I'm trying in this world, and you may say, well, I can almost agree with that. You're probably very trying in this world. Right or wrong, I probably am. But I'm glad for his benefits. What shall we render unto the Lord? What shall we give God? The Bible says, render unto Caesar's what Caesar's, render unto the Lord what's the Lord's. Give him what's his, and give the Lord everything you've got. I believe that this morning. May God bless you. It's our prayer. Let's stand and have a song. If you're lost, this altar's always open. If you're saved and you need to come pray, I'll straighten some things out in your life. I believe in doing that as well. This altar's open for anyone. This service is for him. Let us praise the Lord for his benefits this morning. Does he not have many? May God bless you. It's our prayer. Let's hope.